Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Here on the Newell Norman Show, I'm Dave Cohen, in for Newell Norman, and glad to be here, and glad that Ghassan Korban is joining us, the Executive Director of the New Orleans Sewage and Water Board. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
I don't believe in bad juju or jinxes or those kinds of things, but you and I spoke Friday, and we were celebrating the fact that we made it through record snowfall, more than we'd seen in 130 years in New Orleans, and a couple of nights of hard freezes without the pressure dropping below 20 pounds per square inch in most of New Orleans, and we didn't have to have a boil water advisory. But lo and behold, all of the factors came together just wrong yesterday, and now we have one, huh?
Absolutely. And, you know, obviously we can never let our guards down, not today and not until we have our power complex fully commissioned and ready to serve us. I mean, yesterday was a power related issue that instigated, you know, a series of events that led to the drop, although albeit very short-lived, but enough for us to call for a advisory. And it was very, very unfortunate. We were almost out of the woods, but, you know, now we have about 24 hours worth of, you know, under that advisory, and samples been taken, and we're hopeful, like the hundreds of times before, the results will be negative, and then we will lift it off. Right. And that's not to say that people should not take it seriously, but, you know, it is a precautionary measure that we're obligated to take by law. And again, invariably, it amounts to no positive results in terms of contaminants or coliform. But, you know, we're hoping that we can lift it off tomorrow.
Oh, yeah, I want to talk to you more about whether or not the standards for issuing these advisories need to be revisited, whether lawmakers and health officials and advocates need to take a second look at them. But I want to not have that conversation just yet, because at first I want, were you able to take the samples across the city of New Orleans, all of the East Bank? Algiers not impacted by this, but everyone else in New Orleans is under the advisory to boil their water. When were you able to take those samples, and when do you expect to get them back and be able to lift the order?
Yeah, that's a good question. Because of the enormity of size of the sample sizes that we had to take, we basically at the mercy of the last one that's taken, and we didn't complete all the samples till this morning. So that's the basically the earliest we can call it once we have the results is tomorrow. So we're 24 hours from this morning.
Gotcha. And because, yeah, you don't want to do it piecemeal, neighborhood by neighborhood or section by section or whatever. So you have to wait till all of the samples come back negative. Then you'll lift it for all of the East Bank.
That's accurate, yes. Because the system is connected, and unless you isolate areas via valves and such, you know, the system is vulnerable. So we make sure that all samples are off or are completely tested and results are in before we can call it off.
Explain to us a little better about how this event occurred, and would it have happened had we not had the freeze and the ensuing pipe breaks where we had avoided dropping below 20 PSI, but then you get to a situation where you're right on the brink and you have a power problem?
Well, this event yesterday specifically was a series of many events kind of all combined together. Obviously, the winter freeze was the beginning of the challenge. Then you have the higher demand, and then obviously the need to meet that demand with producing more water. And the more water we produce, the faster the filters that we use to clean the water and make sure that they're safe before we deliver it to you. That obviously was expedited, so to speak. So the filters and the need to clean the filters, which is a routine process and is done without any noticeable impact on the system. But because of all the other variables, you know, we had to just start balancing supplying the distribution system with water, but also use some of the same water or source to clean the filters. So that obviously created another challenge or demand. And at the same time, when all this is happening and we're trying to balance and watching the pressure across the city, we had one pump, portable pump, that tripped offline. We still do not know the main cause, so it's too early, but it's definitely power related. So that really set in motion, you know, a series of events that we just couldn't keep up, because if you have one out of three or four pumps that is down and you're already teetering and close to the 20 as it is, and then you just lose that battle until we were able to restart it, which was done in within 10 to 15 minutes where we restored pressure. But the 10 to 15 minutes is enough to require us to call for boil water advisory. That's why when at the beginning I start by saying I cannot wait till the power complex is complete, because that would have taken that one incident with the power away and wouldn't have created the situation we're in.
Yeah, you're still using more than century-old turbines to generate the electricity to run the pumps, to keep the pressure sufficient to safely deliver water to homes and businesses across New Orleans. We know that you appealed to the public, to the city council, to the state legislature, and you eventually got the funding you needed for the new power complex. Where are we at in the evolution of that, and when do you expect it to be fully online, where you can finally stop relying on this more than 100-year-old power generation system?
Right. So I'll answer your question in a minute, but it's not just the turbines. It's also the relays and the all the equipment that allow us to receive even energy power and utilize it to. In this case, we were using energy power, but all the antiquated pieces of equipment that allow that utilization to happen was also fragile and old, and that will all go away once we have the power complex in place. So the power complex is tracking well. It's basically two stages. The first stage will be the substation fully utilized. We'll have all the equipment we need and would allow us to use it for drainage purposes. So that will happen sometime in the middle of this year before the peak hurricane season. So we will have one primary source of power, reliable, efficient, and the idea of cobbling together all sorts of power to drain the city will go away completely. The second phase, which is also critical, is probably a good year or more away, and that's the last amount of money we got from the state to allow us to connect all the portable water pumping and all the associated equipment to the substation. So that's not imminent, but it will obviously take away this fragility and the how vulnerable the system is to glitches and surges. So two phases. One is very imminent from a drainage perspective, and one is not so for the potable water.
Talking with Ghassan Korban, right now, all of the East Bank of the city of New Orleans, only Algiers is not subject to the boil water advisory because, he said briefly, 10 to 15 minutes or so, the pressure on the system dropped below 20 pounds per square inch. They are obligated under current rules and laws to advise you to boil your water for 1 minute, let it cool before consuming it, until they can get these tests back tomorrow morning to confirm that contaminants did not enter the system because of the pressure drop. When we get back, I want to talk more about the current standard. I've been doing this for decades now, covering news here in New Orleans and elsewhere, and I have never, ever seen a single time when a pressure drop in a system due to a pipe break, an electrical malfunction, or other issue led to water coming back as testing positive for too many contaminants that it's not safe to drink. You heard Ghassan Korban similarly expressing frustration when we first started talking to him. So I want to give him more of a platform after this to talk about it. Do lawmakers, do health officials need to get together and reconsider this theoretical situation where contaminants can enter the system with a drop below 20 PSI? Is that the correct way we should determine whether or not to issue boil water advisories, or should that be examined and maybe changed? We'll talk to Ghassan Korban about that after this. Also, the fact that we have a snowstorm that shuts down everything in and around New Orleans, followed by a boil water advisory that makes it very difficult for bars, restaurants, hospitals, schools, and residents, and all businesses with a boil water advisory. And, oh, we got a Super Bowl coming here in 13 days. We'll continue the conversation after this on WWL. The East Bank of New Orleans, the entire city of New Orleans, except for Algiers, is currently under a boil water advisory. You're advised to boil any water you're going to consume for 60 seconds. Let it cool before consuming it. That includes brushing your teeth with it. As the current standard says that if the water pressure in a system drops below 20 pounds per square inch, it is the duty of the water system and the local health officials to issue a boil water advisory until they can get tests from the system to confirm the contaminants did not enter the system due to the loss in pressure. Ghassan Korban is on the live line with us. He is the executive director of the New Orleans Sewage and Water Board. And Ghassan, you did what, 30 years in Milwaukee, 31 years in Milwaukee. You've been here now over 6 years. And I should preface the following conversation by saying, we are not advising you to consume the water. Do not drink the water if you feel it's unsafe and if you want to follow the current laws and rules and standards and understand that you are under an advisory. That having been said, you've got nearly 40 years working on water. I've been a journalist for about that same amount of time, and I have never, ever seen that I can remember a single time that a boil water advisory came back with testing that showed contaminants had entered a water system due to a drop in pressure. Have you ever seen where that occurred?
Very, very rare. Obviously, seldom you see that. And obviously, the law is meant to protect against that one time where you will expose our public to danger. But the big question is, that does this require a conversation? And I think it does. It's noteworthy, though, to share that this is a national law. It's national model. It's not just the state of Louisiana. So way back in Wisconsin, as I was leaving, the law was changing in terms of threshold, because it used to be at 15 PSI and was made into up to 20 PSI, which obviously makes it more likely to call one rather than not. That 5 PSI makes it big difference, because often we hit 18 or 17, and, you know, with the current threshold, we have to call it that, otherwise we wouldn't have. But it's not something that we can unilaterally here in the state of Louisiana just change it. I think it's a requirement by the EPA at the national level, and that's where the conversation needs to be had.
Do you think there needs to be another conversation about that now? Because it does seem, and I understand that those people who make these decisions, the scientific community that came together, the health community that came together at the federal and levels across, you know, state after state after state looking at this, it was agreed upon that it was 20 PSI should be the threshold. But again, and you have to balance public safety with public inconvenience as well. Do you think that 20 PSI should be reconsidered, and that there should be maybe a more close look or a more data-driven scientific examination of whether or not that's the right threshold?
I do. Obviously, there was a reason to trigger the change from 15 to 20 back in 2018. And I think, you know, having, you know, more than a handful of years of experience and data related to these new thresholds, maybe it's worth looking at the data and see what it tells us, and maybe an adjustment is required. Now, another thing that is also worth kind of sharing for comparison purposes, you know, boil water advisories happen everywhere. Unfortunately, it's happening more and more. Again, because of the 20 higher threshold, also, you know, more issues. You know, you take Texas, for example. Other states are facing winter conditions that they didn't before, creating more of an issue for them, including us. You know, we are facing this more and more. But this city, because of its system and its vulnerability, just merely of somebody hitting a hydrant, could lead to a drop in pressure. So we see that more often, and the impact of it is here is more noticeable. Yeah,
that exact thing happened.
More real life.
Yeah, last week in Belle Chasse, that exact thing happened. Someone literally ran over a fire hydrant, and Belle Chasse was under a boil water advisory.
Right, right. So it's a reality. It will happen. And, you know, part of our issue is the vulnerability of the system itself is too fragile. The isolation of the mains and kind of, you know, the valves and the ability, the access to these valves is somewhat challenging at times. So, you know, there's a lot of variables. But the to answer your overall question, or overarching question, should we have a conversation? I think we should. I'm not sure where it's going to lead us, but I think it's at least it would either affirm or maybe lead us to some adjustment.
The theoretical is that when the pressure drops, it makes the system vulnerable to contaminants entering. Where would that theoretically occur? Where would the contaminants, the bacteria or whatever it is that they're concerned about, how would they get into the water system due to a pressure drop below 20 PSI? How physically explain to us how that could theoretically happen?
So there's two scenarios where that could happen. One, which is very, very unlikely, contaminants surrounding a pipe itself that maybe has a cavity in it, a break, then you lose pressure, and then contaminants could enter directly into that water main. And then maybe if it's repaired, for example, you still have to make sure that a safe sample is obtained after the is obtained. But the majority of the exposure is due cross connections, siphoning the water. You know, whether you have a tub with like a laundry tub, or maybe even industrial mechanism that allows for water to be siphoned back into the system, bringing with it, you know, water that has no, that is dirty, that is full of chemicals or full of contaminants. And if it enters the system and we don't call for the boil water advisory and sample, we will know, and then the exposure is then real. And obviously the results are negative. But in this case, in our case, you know, and similar to other cities, there's a new safeguard that we've been implementing, which is backflow prevention. So anything that, anytime we are aware of a connection where that could happen, we have a backflow preventer that would safeguard against water being siphoning back. Now, it's not 100%, but it really is a very, very secure...
it's a mitigation.
Mechanical contraption that allow water to flow one way into the house or a property, but precludes it from going backwards and back into the system. So that alone could really... should be factored into the discussion that you've raised before, and see whether these backflow preventers have served their purpose and have done what they're supposed to do, lessening the likelihood of exposure.
And that is really more of a threat in an industrial setting, because I think most of us think about our own homes and can't think of, I can't imagine a situation where my bathtub, my dishwasher, my laundry machine, clothes washer is going to be to a point where the entry point for the water would allow it to be siphoned back into the system. The bigger threat is in an industrial setting where maybe things are configured differently, huh?
Right. And in those instances, there's more safeguards in terms of, you know, the backflow preventers and other valves, contraptions that really reduce that risk. But nonetheless, that's where the exposure lies.
You think once we get these samples back tomorrow and hopefully all is well and you can lift the boil water advisory, has the system stabilized from the breaks we saw during the winter storm event last week to a point where we can feel pretty good? And again, I don't believe in juju or jinxes or anything like that, but I don't want to jinx it, that we're good for the Super Bowl, because the last thing we want is the world's eyes on us next week when everyone's coming in town for the Super Bowl and we have a situation where the water's not deemed safe to drink.
Yeah, I mean, cautiously optimistic. While I was on the call with you, I was told that samples were taken immediately when we lost pressure, so we will be able to call off the owner. It could be mid-afternoon to late afternoon today, so that's good news.
Okay, so repeat that again, because this is important information.
What I was saying that I need to make a correction. The calling off of the advisory could happen as early as this afternoon.
Ah, because you were able to get samples across the city yesterday, have to wait until this morning. Okay, that's good.
I was being too cautious, so that's great news to share with you. And we are keeping up with our own water main breaks. I mean, we still have quite a few out there to repair, but we're on it. We're steadily fixing them one by one. Obviously, the biggest vulnerability remains on the private sector or a private property, because there's a lot of, we're seeing high demand still, higher than usual, which is an indication that many of those have not been repaired. So, you know, we have little control over that, but we're hoping that people are continue to attend to those and fix them. And I believe more comfortably that we will be able to handle most of them before the Super Bowl.
All right, so folks, check your properties. If you have low water pressure now, you shouldn't. Your water pressure should be back up to normal. So if you have low water pressure, you may have a break. Or if you have a neighbor maybe that is out of town, or there's an Airbnb in your neighborhood or whatever, maybe help out the system by checking out to see if you see any water leaking anywhere. And if you do, let's get that attended to. We need to get everything fixed, up and running, and really at the top of its game for the next couple of weeks. Not that we don't need to worry about it after that, but particularly when we have the eyes of the world on us, it really would be nice to not have any of these problems, wouldn't it? Ghassan Korban, Executive Director of the Sewerage and Water Board, anything else you want to share before we let you get back to the business of making sure our water is good to go?
No, I'm good. Thank you so much for having me today.
All right. Thank you for joining us here on WWL. He's Ghassan Korban. I'm Dave Cohen.